I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. Hello again, people of Earth. We're back. Move your mic before we start recording, Dylan. Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
It's fine. There it goes. It's fine. Dylan and Brad here. Hey, at least we found the missing, well, I think that's the missing microphone stand. There was one missing, and now we have that. So I guess they, I don't know, somebody's been messing with the equipment. We'll find you and punish you. Trust me. No, what was I talking about, Dylan? Oh, yeah, it's the podcast.
Yeah.
Are we doing a podcast right now?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Trying to?
Frazzled.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's all I feel like these days is frazzled. But at least we're able to do a podcast every week. Thank you all for joining us. This podcast comes to you every Wednesday. Find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. That's at djournalpreps. It is week 3 for MHSAA football, and we're going to look at some of the big games coming up. But first, we got to look back at some big week 2 games, and we shall start with West Point and Tupelo. That one was at Tupelo. I was there, and you know, I expected West Point to win. And they did, obviously. 24-14 was the final. Tupelo did the same thing that they did against Neshoba Central. Fell behind early, shut out in the first half, and just could not mount a comeback in the second half. Of course, that West Point defense, as we know, is really tough. Now, they were stinging a bit from the week before when Starkville piled up, I think, 430 yards on them and 40 points. And so West Point had a little something to prove, and they did a really good job of proving that point and held Tupelo to minus 8 rushing yards. So Tupelo is still struggling to find a run game. Didn't have one to speak of against Neshoba. And they did score a couple of second-half touchdowns, but just could not, like I said, could not sustain anything. And West Point's defense stepped up and finished things off. Had a couple of key interceptions of Jake Ware in that game. And so West Point gets the win, improving to 1-1. Tupelo dropping to 0-2. And we're going to talk about Tupelo's next opponent in just a few minutes. But 0-2 is not a good way to start. I know it's not division play, so these games don't matter in that sense. But, you know, you got a new coach, new systems. These guys, Coach Ty Harden said the guys still, you know, believe in what he's doing. It's just that, you know, that obviously at some point you got to start seeing some results.
Yeah,
or teenagers just might, you know, you never know with them.
Right. That's what we talked about last week when we was previewing the West Point Tupelo matchup. We both seemed started out the season 0-1, and we both said that it was like, hey, you know, you don't want to start the season 0-2 because, you know, with 16-year-olds that can snowball very quickly on you. So, you know, they have an opportunity this week to kind of ride the ship and try to get back on track before division play does start.
I think they will. Well, again, we'll talk about that in a moment. Game you're at, Dylan, Shannon and Houston at Shannon. Man, that was a long night.
Yeah. Houston came out and scored real early, made it 8-0, and Shannon drove the field right there. Then again, tied it up 8-8, and then lightning struck about a couple miles away. And as soon as Shannon scored, and they converted their 2-point conversion there, and the rest looked back up at the press box and was like, "We're going inside." And so we had an hour and 41-minute weather delay, and then as the game went on, ended up going into overtime where Shannon was able to pull it out there in that first overtime period. But yeah, so
40-32, right?
Yeah, 40-32. Both teams went for two all night long. Houston only converted one of their very first 2-point conversion, and then they failed. They were like 0-4 on the next two. So, and then Shannon was good on all of their 2-point conversions, and mainly because of their running back. Since Whaley White, he has maybe the best nickname out there.
Stanko
White. That's his nickname. And so, yeah, I actually like calling him Stanko better. It's It's pretty good. But anyways, he had like 196 yards and three touchdowns, and all three touchdowns they were in the second half, like late in the third quarter on.
Yeah.
Shannon went to this heavy run package. Basically, it was a direct snap to him. They took the quarterback out, who also Jamarcus Shines. He had two rushing touchdowns early, and to help them kind of build their lead and stuff. But as it got into the second half, Coach Carter, Daryl Carter there, said that he saw something with Houston's defense and took Jamarcus Shines off the field and put Stanka back there at the Wildcat quarterback. And they put some heavy guys in there, up backs and stuff, and just ran it right down the throat there for against Houston, and which is no small feat. Houston's a very good football team. And they had a good night as well. Centwali White, he just was a man amongst boys out there.
And even in the loss, Houston, got some good performances from Red Parker, the quarterback, who struggled to throw the ball last year accurately, but this year he's off to a great start, and Shamar Crawford has been his top target. We knew coming into the season he's going to be a dangerous weapon. So, you don't like moral victories, but that's an offense to be reckoned with, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at the numbers, just the numbers themselves from Red's night against Shannon. He had 368 total yards, both passing and rushing, and five touchdowns there. And ironically, you mentioned Crawford, and he had four catches for 82 yards and all three passing touchdowns that Red threw. So they've got a three headed monster. I mentioned this earlier. Jalen Washington, that freshman running back that they have, he's probably one of the best players in the state for his classification.
Yeah.
And to be so young, he's a 14 years old or so, and he's 5'10", 185 at running back, and he's just a load. And he had almost 200 yards of total offense, too. It was Houston shot themselves in the foot with five turnovers and a bunch of penalties.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave the game away there. But Houston's going to be fine, especially in 3A. They're going to be really tough to deal with moving forward.
And then the Crosstown Classic, it was Lafayette at Oxford, and Oxford pulled it out again. They've been dominating this series the last decade or so, and they were down 22-6. They erased that deficit and went on to win 33-22. I thought it was interesting, Dylan, they had to replace John Marr at quarterback this year. The season opener, they had Michael Harvey, the junior, start at quarterback. This past week, they had him and Tripp Maxwell both getting significant snaps, and they combined to go 13 of 20 for 229 yards and four touchdowns. Maxwell had three of those touchdown passes, so may see them do that the rest of the season, play both of those guys. Maxwell's a sophomore. I think he was the freshman quarterback for Oxford last year in the freshman team, and Harvey, I think, was the JV quarterback. And then they had 121 yards rushing, not great, but not bad. And they did a good job in the receiving core as well. Jay Wortham had 109 yards. So, that's a good win for Oxford, defending 6A champs. You play a rival like Lafayette, who's really strong in 5A, and you fall down 16 points early. That's a good comeback. That's impressive. So big win there for Oxford last weekend. Okay, let's look ahead to some of this week's games. Just talked about Houston, and they're at Pontotoc. And we just talked about Parker and Crawford. Off to a fast start. Parker's at, 488 passing yards?
Yeah.
And Crawford has, I've got it right here in front of me. He's got 280 yards and four touchdowns receiving. The Washington kid has 205 rushing. And he also has six catches for 146 yards. Parker's 19 of 34, so it's a much better percentage than what he threw last year. It's only two games in, but I kind of wonder, though, what Pontotoc's defense can do with this offense. I mean, they did really not a bad job against New Albany in the opener. They won that one 38-35 in OT in New Albany. They hung – what was it against Boonville? 44, 45?
I was gonna say 43, 44 in that range.
Anyway, yes. And then they played DeSoto Central, 6A school, really close.
27-21.
So, they could make this I think they'll probably keep this a close game, and would obviously be a huge win for them. Really didn't know what to expect of Pontotoc this year with all they lost, but Jamarcus Whitfield has been great.
Yeah.
At running back, Connor Armstrong. His quarterback seems to be doing pretty solid.
Yes.
And so, like I said, the defense seems to be playing pretty well, especially considering the opposition.
Yeah, I think when you look at this matchup, I don't think either team's going to run away with it. I think this is just one of those tight-knit, close-knit, whatever ball games for four quarters. Houston, like I said while I go with Shannon, they were down two touchdowns late and came back. Like they've kind of got some grit and some right. determination about them. So even whatever Pontotoc does on the offensive side of the ball, I think Houston can match. And it's gonna be really interesting. It's gonna be a really good game to watch if you've got time to get over to Pontotoc or get your voucher or whatever it is you got to get into the game. So exactly. It's gonna be a really good one for sure. Like it always is.
Big 1A battle: Smithville at Biggersville. Smithville finally getting to play some football because they had to go into quarantine and missed the first two games of the year, including a division game against Noxipater. So I believe this is a division game too, is it not?
It isn't.
It is
I
not.
I thought it was. I put it in there first, then it
you're right, it's not.
Biggersville's Region 1 and Smithville's over in that vaunted Region 2 there with TCPS.
That's right. I always get those mixed up. We got so many teams in each of those divisions. But still, it should be a good 1A game. Smithville being off for this long, you don't know how well they're going to come out. Biggersville has two games under its belt and has been dominant in both games. I mean, they beat Tupelo Christian in the season opener 46-21, then beat Hatley last week like a drum 60-6. Doing this without Quentin Knight, the quarterback who got injured, tore his ACL over the summer. And so they've had to kind of adjust things offensively. I mean, he was a good player, good two-way threat, dual threat. And they've been just fine so far, you know. I mean, they've got Goldman Butler running the ball. That obviously helps a lot. And so they got the Drew Rousey kid, a quarterback. He's managed to – he's played well so far. So, yeah, I don't know, man. And, of course, this will be the first game back for Chad Collins, the new
– former new
sort of new coach for Smithville. Second go-around there with Seminoles. And then finally, we got North Panola at Tupelo. This was supposed to be Grenada at Tupelo, but Grenada has had quite a few COVID cases. So they had we found out on Tuesday that they were going to have to cancel. But Tupelo coach Ty Harden, after hearing it this on Monday that it might happen, started looking around for an opponent. North Panola was off this week. They were supposed to play Ruleville Central initially, but Ruleville, I think, is in Sunflower County. Nobody in that county is having fall sports. So they were able to work that out pretty quickly. I mean, by Tuesday afternoon, not long after the announcement of the cancellation, we heard that North Panola will travel to Tupelo. I'm still trying to get some good info on North Panola. You know, this is not the North Panola of years past. This has become
Jefferson. Yeah.
I mean, years past when they were like an afterthought. And it was all South Panola over there, and you didn't even hear about North Panola. But they've been much more competitive the last few years. Of course, they had KJ Jefferson. I don't know if they're as good as that team was, but I think they'll be. I think they'll give Tupelo a good fight, which I'm sure Ty Harden hopes for. He wants his guys to be in a competitive game, but to win and get some confidence. So glad to see that they were able to find somebody especially after that 0-2 start. Don't want to start 0-3.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
Kudos to both teams, too, because, I mean, like, North Panola, you're over here, you're a 3A program, and you've got an open date, and you're sitting here looking for an opponent, and this opportunity pops up to play the largest high school in the state, and you don't cower down from it. You take it and say, hey, win whatever, let's just play football.
Yeah.
And so kudos to them, and kudos to Tupelo too for moving, like being able to adjust and move on so quickly. I'm sure their assistant coaches and Coach Harden and all them are racking up film right now, because normally that stuff gets done on Saturday night and or Saturdays and Sundays and stuff like that. So they're late in the film process. So is North Panola, I'm sure. So it's going to be interesting.
Definitely, North Panola is 1-1. Beat Clarksdale in the season opener. Lost to Clarksdale in the season opener, 22-20, and last week beat Calhoun City, 34-20. And speaking of COVID-19, it's been wreaking havoc with some of our area teams. Nettleton's football team, for instance, will not be playing this weekend because the school is actually shut down in-person instruction for this whole week, so no after-school activities either. Volleyball team was already in quarantine, I think, as of last Thursday, because they had some cases. Football, I don't believe they have any cases, but they're not allowed because of some people were exposed, so they will not be able to play this week. Hopefully, Nettleton can get back to it next week. But because they're off to a good start, 2-0, number 5 in our small school rankings.
Right.
Yeah. Also, we learned today, Wednesday, that Baldwin football has gone into quarantine, and they're going to miss the next two games, which is really tough. Yeah. I mean, because they're going to miss they're supposed to play Belmont this week, not a division game, but next week was supposed to be their division opener against Thrasher.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, that's a game Baldwin would win. Let's be honest. Yeah, they'd win that game. So that's they have to, I could think they just have to forfeit it now, I believe, since it's a division game. You have to count it.
And there's no open dates on their schedule to plug that back in. So there's no way to get it. And just like Smithville's deal with, you know, Knox Pater, that was a division game for them too. So
exactly.
Like I said, COVID's gonna make the playoff seeding stuff look really different this year.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. By the way, Knowlton was supposed to play Caledonia this week.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if Caledonia found anybody to play in their place, but and then in volleyball,
Caledonia's got Holly Springs, right?
That's right. They added Holly Springs. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I think we actually have that on our schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. There
it's
we go.
Confusing because there's just so
I'm having so much trouble keeping up with all of this. I mean, I'm trying my best to keep up with between the volleyball and football schedules constantly changing, and we try to keep it updated online and in the paper. And you know, not everybody tells us when there's a change. It would help if they did. Sometimes we just hear about it or just happen to see it on Twitter, what have you. So, you know, if you're a coach and you're listening or whatever, or scorekeeper or something, administrator, and there's a change, please contact us. If you're a coach, you've probably got my cell number, okay? So please help us out because we need all the help that we can get. And so let me see here. Yep, that's right. It's going to be Holly Springs at Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then Corinth Volleyball just had to go into quarantine for 2 weeks. And they're off to a great start, 6-1. The last match they played, I think, was the one I covered against Alcorn Central last week where they won. It was a great match. They won it 3-2. That's their rival. And they were moved into our rankings this week at number 4. And now next 2 weeks they're sitting at home. And they're going to have to – once they get back, they're going to have to just try to get all their division games in. That's all they'll be able to play because by the time they get back, there's like 2 weeks left in the season,
yeah.
I think. And so they're trying to get all that – all those games rescheduled as best they can. So, yeah, it's going to keep happening, like I said. I just hope we make it all the way to the end of these seasons. Volleyball, speaking of, real quick, I was in Oxford last night to watch Tupelo in Oxford battle. A couple of 6A teams, not in the same division in volleyball. They are in football, mm-hmm. but not volleyball. It was 3-0. Tupelo won 3-0, but it was a lot closer than that because they won 25-23, 25-23, and 25-23. They were down 23-20 in the first set, scored the last 5 points. Down 23-20 in the second set, scored the last 5 points. And then in the third set, they jumped ahead early. Oxford came back and tied them kind of late, but Tupelo pulled away at the end. And I don't believe they ever trailed in that set. And so ended up with the 3-0 win and a really good win, even though Oxford was shorthanded. They had several girls out because of COVID stuff, including 4 starters. So they had 4 freshmen in the starting lineup. 2 had never played varsity before. Wow. And given that, I thought they played pretty well. Now, they had a lot of their big boppers still in the lineup, like Ainsley Tack had a good match. I think she had 12 or 13 kills for them. They had Brianna Lyons. They had Catherine Bianco on the floor. So they still had some really good players out there, but they just didn't have the depth and everything. They only had like 9 players available.
Right.
So
that's tough.
Yeah, so that's tough for them. But they'll meet again, I think, this coming Monday. I think that's right, in Tupelo. All right, time for this week's shout-out, and it goes to Ricky Neves. Hey, Ricky, he's going to be the new MHSAA Executive Director, replacing Don Hinton come January 1st. Ricky, of course, has been with the MHSAA for, 10, 11 years?
Something like that.
I always forget what his title is.
Was he not the Associate Executive?
Associate Executive Director or something like that.
Yeah, he was right under Mr. Hinton.
Right, and he's always been helpful to me and to us when it comes to MHSAA related questions and whatnot, and so he's going to move into Don Hinton's chair again January 1st. So congrats to Ricky Neves. Still curious what Brandon Speck thinks about that. I don't know if you know the backstory.
I don't know the backstory.
We'll not get into it. Athletes of the week. We honor a male and female athlete every week, and this week we've got female athlete of the week, Katie West, senior for Tupelo's swimming team. Tupelo opened the season Tuesday, opened its season Tuesday by hosting a meet at the Tupelo Aquatic Center. And Katie, she won the 500 freestyle, the 100 backstroke, and she was part of the winning 200 medley relay team. And Tupelo girls won the meet, and on the boys' side, Tupelo won that as well. So Tupelo got the sweep, boys and girls. And so a good start for them and for Miss Katie West. And male athlete of the week, Josh Blake, the quarterback and defensive back for Potts Camp. Last week, in a 48-14 win over H.W. Byers, he was 2 of 3 passing for 50 yards and a touchdown, pretty efficient. And then he carried the ball 12 times for 156 yards and 3 touchdowns. And on defense, he had an interception, and he recovered a fumble for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So he did lots.
Pretty good stat line on both sides of the ball.
Helped account for 5 touchdowns in that win over Byers. So congrats to Katie and Josh, and that is all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Be sure to check out our football show, the DJ Preps Football Preview Show. Should be up on djournal.com sometime later today. And again, this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. Check us out on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. And we will see y'all next week.